I'm very happy this morning to be able to speak in my mother tongue. So it's this language I learned from my birth. This morning, I believe the Lord will use it to speak to all of us. With the theme, do not lose courage, don't be discouraged. Don't lose courage. Ephesians chapter 3 is our text, verses 7 to 13. I will read those verses. Ephesians 3, 7 to 10. This gospel is made a minister according to the gift of God's grace, which was given me by the working of his power. To me, though I am the very least of all the saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. And to bring to light for everyone what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God who created all things. So that through the church, the manifold wisdom of God might be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This was according to the eternal purpose he has realized in Jesus Christ our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through our faith in him. So I ask you not to lose heart over what I am suffering for you, which is your glory. Don't lose courage. Loved ones, it happens at times to lose our courage. It happens because of a reason. Often we put our confidence in things that deceive us, that disappoint us. And because of that, we lose courage. We can lose courage because of our children. Because one of your children has left the home. It's happened to me often to lose courage. When I came to this country 7 years ago, I had hope. I knew that God had called me here. But after 6 months, I began to lose courage. What would I say to my wife? If it's really like this in the United States, I prefer to return to Cameroon. But I began studying the scriptures. And these months that we've been speaking about Ephesians, I've read at least 100 times this passage. I meditated. I wanted to understand the mystery that Paul announced to the church. The discouragement is there every day. When I began to learn, when you live for Christ, when you seek the will of God every day, when you know that Christ is all, when he is your life, you will not need to worry or be discouraged. But in everything that comes to pass in your life is controlled by God, is planned by God. Sometimes there are things that discourage us. You should not be discouraged. Here's Paul. He's a prisoner of Christ. He's doing God's will and not his own. How can people understand when they see a man like Paul, who confessed he's a prisoner according to the will of God because of the gospel of Christ, to be in prison because he had preached the gospel? There were reasons why the Ephesians would be discouraged. Where's God? Where's the God he serves? Why he hasn't delivered Paul? And they were losing their faith. The Paul himself could be discouraged if he didn't understand that he was called to accomplish the will of God. So he said to them, do not be discouraged. When we look at our country today, when we look at what takes place in the world, we have reasons to be discouraged. But if we know Christ, if we know that we live for Christ, whatever takes place around us, it's not our problem. Our God is in control. We should not be discouraged. Jesus Christ is our hope. Jesus Christ has control of all things. That's the problem. Let's return to text. Paul announces himself as a prisoner of Christ. People might say that Paul had an unhappy life, because nobody wants to be a prisoner. Who would want to be a prisoner here this morning? No one but Paul. But he knows he's a prisoner of Christ. Actually, when we understand that Paul says he's a prisoner of Christ, he is just a prisoner. He was incarcerated by the Romans because of his faith, because he was defending the gospel. He had refused to compromise. He had said, no, you put me in prison, but I will not be silent. I will preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you're with me, Jesus Christ is my life. I will die for him. So people might say, why did God leave this man in prison? But God had a goal in our lives. All the situations that we go through, whether they are good, whether they are bad, if Jesus is the center of our lives, Jesus is my life. He's the one who reigns. Even if I don't have enough to eat, if I don't have much money in the bank, it matters little as long as I know that Jesus loves me and that he's happy with the life that I live. Paul did not have his destiny in his hands because he submitted his will to God. He had been led by Jesus Christ. The human prison had no importance because God is greater than his guards. We have a tendency to complain, to want pity, to ask questions. Where's God in life? Paul hadn't do anything to merit this sufferance. And sometimes people have the tendency to abandon the faith when they go through tribulations. They rather stay home. Paul says to them, do not lose heart. Don't lose courage, because God is there. He is in control. He has a goal, and he allows us to pass through these tribulations. Paul often presents suffering in a way different than the world understands it. He suffered to show us an example. He didn't suffer for nothing, although he didn't do anything to deserve suffering. He knew that he was accomplishing God's will. Loved ones, we don't have any reason to lose our courage in these kinds of situations. Paul reminded him of several things in this letter. Jesus had warned about sufferings. It is the glory of Christians to suffer for Christ. And there are blessings when we know sufferings for Christ. Paul. Paul never calls anyone to pity him in his situation, but he encourages the brothers to not lose courage. Paul's suffering for something he didn't do. He's telling them, don't be discouraged because of my situation. I know it, one thing. God has permitted this for his glory, for the glory of Christ. I suffer. I suffer knowing that God is in control of the situation. The key verse of this passage is verse 13. Do not lose heart over what I'm suffering for you. Never lose courage, because God is in control. Let's see how Paul chose to leave the love of this world for the love of Jesus Christ. As a prisoner of Christ, he knew that God had a plan for his life. Let's not look at sufferings as the world sees them, but let's remain in the assurance of our salvation in Jesus Christ. Jesus warned us that we would suffer for his cause. Someone who is not a Christian is actually an enemy of God. If your life is not submitted to Christ, if you have not understood the call of God, then you are not in the camp of God. You're in the camp of his enemies. But by the blood of Jesus Christ, those who have called on Jesus as their Savior, you then are able to believe every day, to follow Jesus Christ and not be discouraged. I know that today the gospel of Jesus Christ is badly preached in many places, that the cross has been removed from the gospel. It's no longer the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it's for this reason that Paul defended the gospel. He said the suffering is part of the gospel of Jesus Christ that he has given to us, because he himself showed us an example. He is God. He could have said no to this suffering, but he has said, may your will be done. We are called to allow God's will to be accomplished in our lives without being discouraged, because God has told us this beforehand, to preach and defend the gospel. This opposition was clearly manifested when Jesus came into the world. In effect, the people to whom Jesus did good crucified him on the cross. It's for that reason Jesus announced beforehand, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before you, John 15:8. Perhaps you've told yourself that you have non-Christian friends, and but Paul had been rejected because he said no. A gospel that doesn't save. Now back to the friends that are non-Christians, and it seems to go without a problem. But you need to know that they profoundly hate the Christian side of your life. The question is, have they seen your Christian side? What takes place generally is that we testify the love of God, and we see that those we speak to ask us quickly to stop. But if they don't know Jesus as their Savior, they've chosen the camp of the enemy. Sometimes we don't preach the gospel of Jesus Christ in a radical way as Paul did. We say, if you don't want to believe what I preach, it's okay. But Paul, he chose that he would not keep silent. It was for this reason. that he was in chains this morning? Would you want to be in chains because you refuse to compromise or please your friends? Would you show them your Christian side, what it is in reality? When we speak of the love of God, and people tell us to stop, and we stop. No, if you want me to be with you, then stop talking about Jesus. Talking about politics, that's really not what we need to talk about. If Jesus isn't there, if you don't want that I speak about Jesus, then it's not worth continuing, because I need to preach the gospel. This, for this reason, Paul suffered. Here's the question. What will we give up? Will we give up the Savior in order to save a friendship? Or will we give up the love of the world in order to have our Savior? You choose whether to be in the camp of Jesus and to let go. Get a friendship that takes you away from your faith. But often we're tempted by the devil to choose the wrong side, to choose the friendship, a worldly friendship, and to let go of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it's sad when Christians do that today, and they don't realize that we're called to be living testimonies in this world, to be lights in this world. Paul chose to let go the love of the world, and it brought about his sufferings from a human perspective. But he said, don't lose courage. Don't lose courage because of me, because I've chosen the good part. I've chosen it for the cause of the gospel. And we need to rejoice. Rejoice when there's spiritual victories. Don't let our joy be dictated by the world, but by the joy of salvation. Let's not be content with what we do, that we have a big bank account, the successes that we might have, because tomorrow those successes might be transformed in something terrible. But when we choose Jesus, we will never be disappointed, even in the midst of tribulation and in the midst of suffering. Secondly, it's the glory of the Christian to suffer for Christ. Paul says, his afflictions are our glory. That signifies that the work that God confided to him contributes to our sanctification, thanks to the Bible. Oh, it contributed to the sanctification of brothers at that time, and today contributes to our faith. Paul reminds himself that God had given him a great favor in entrusting to him the proclamation of the gospel to the Gentiles. And in addition, God wants to teach it directly. God reveals himself to a person by another person. But for Paul, it was Jesus in person who called him to salvation, and was Jesus who had trained him. We find his testimony in the first chapter of Galatians. Galatians chapter 1, verses 11 and 12. For I would have you know, brothers, that the gospel that was preached by me is not man's gospel. For I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it, but I received it through a revelation of Jesus Christ. Galatians 1, 11 and 12. We can imagine the intelligence that Paul received from this mystery of Christ. He knows where he's going. He knows what he's talking about. It's for that reason that he reminds us of this great truth. Don't be discouraged. Whatever the situation might be, have confidence in God. It's him who has called you. He's the one who will lead you through these moments, those moments that are hard, that are difficult. If one of us today can say that he has suffered like the Apostle Paul, I don't think anyone can really say that. But we get discouraged because of the little tribulations that good uses to train us, to lead us in the gospel that we preach. There's no reason to be discouraged. We know that everything is in the hands of God, the one who works beyond that which we can think, beyond everything. Everything works together for good to those who love God. If you've been called by God, all that you might go through, bless God and say, thank you, Lord, because you have permitted me to pass through this situation. God, thank you. And even when there's victories in your life, let us make confidence in all times to God. In effect, our joy is that God transforms our hearts. And it's through that we advance toward the perfection of Jesus Christ. More that he directs our hearts, more we understand that he is in control. He's at the wheel. He's at the wheel of our lives. When we see the growing hatred of the world toward us, it's a sign which shows our progress. Luke 6:26. When he talks about the false, 6:26 talks about the false prophets. He says they're cursed. There's people that might come to us and might say to you that you do well, that you have a big heart. He said, I have to be careful. It's Jesus in me who allows me to do what I do. But if someone says to me, look what you've done, then I have to be careful. Help me to understand. When you look at the false prophets and people, they want people to say good about them. Jesus said, be in joy when you suffer, because your reward is great in heaven, because they persecuted the prophets who were before you. The persecution comes, we should rejoice. It's like that the prophets went through their suffering. And Paul, in this passage, wants to encourage us. He wants to encourage us to not lose courage, to advance with joy. Jesus is with you. Continue in that which you do. And abandon your life for God's will. Our hope is in heaven. It's for that reason that the world cannot comprehend that we expect nothing from this earth. They don't understand how we can live the way that we live. When we know that everything that God does for his children is for his glory, we put ourselves at his service. We know that he's the one who provides every day according to what we need and according to what we can do, what we can accomplish. He is faithful in his time so that we do not need to be discouraged. Our hope is in heaven. My wife and I have always wanted to be invested in the life of others. She is 50 years old. We still say to God, thank you for what you've allowed us to do, what we understand. We don't need I missed a little bit of that, sorry. But he's talking, my wife and I, we need to invest ourselves in the lives of others. And sometimes people make fun of us, that we work for God. But we don't have a home here on earth. We have a home in heaven. Because this earth will be destroyed. And if we see things that we want here on this earth, our heart can be turned in a different direction. Ever since we've been in this country, God confirms that once we put our feet on this land, on this earth, this is where we belong. And we await the day when Jesus will come again and take us to himself, and we will be with him in that place that cannot be destroyed, where the bank can't take your mortgage, when we are with Christ with all of the guarantees. Sometimes where we boast about what we have. I have a house. Do you have a house on high? Are you investing in that house above? And the bank can't ever take that home. It's good to do things. I'm not saying it's not good to do good things, but you need to know that your will is submitted to the will of Christ. Yeah. It's God who will accomplish his will in his time. Sometimes I might think that I can put my tithe aside and use it to buy a house. And so we engage ourselves in another path, a path that's going to lead to deception. Now at 50 years old, we say to God, help us, Lord, that help us to do what you want us to do on the earth in this life and in this country. And in your time, you're going to give us what you have for us. So don't allow yourself be influenced by the world, because they will discourage you. If you're going to invest in this world, you'll be discouraged. There are blessings when we know suffering in Christ. They're only understandable if we understand that the end of our salvation is sanctification. James chapter 1, verses 1 to 4, regard the tribulation, the temptations as joy, and it'll bring about patience in your life. Patience has to accomplish its work in order that we might be complete. James 1, verses 1 to 4. And we also reap the blessings that Jesus has left on the path that he opened. And we're blessed today because of his sacrifice on the cross. If he had not submitted to the will of God, we wouldn't be here today. We wouldn't be saved. Because it's a grace to endure afflictions because of our conscience toward God. In effect, what glory is there to endure bad treatment for having committed faults? But if you suffer for doing that which is good, it's a grace. It's grace for you. And it's to that that you have been called, because Christ also has suffered for you. He left you an example in order that you follow his steps. 1 Peter 2, verses 19 to 21. Spiritual victories are so liberating that we fall in worship when we think about them. When we see the proofs of God's faithfulness, when God allows us to understand it toward the end, what we have gone through, we bless God because he is the one that trains us and allows us to pass through these times. But be careful, because spiritual victories are often called defeats by the world. 27 years ago in Cameroon, my uncle, who was my sponsor, he gave me many things. He saw my zeal, my involvement to serve God with all my heart. He saw that I renounced the family idols. He asked me to make a choice. He said, "My son, choose between me or Jesus. Choose between the family idols and Jesus. You need to make a choice as long as you are in my house." It was a choice. It was a difficult choice. Because to choose Jesus meant I was going to lose shelter, sustenance. It was a way of suffering that opened before me. I was not discouraged to choose Jesus and to lose all the privileges that I had. When I think back at these moments of suffering, of persecution that I went through, I fall in adoration before God. I was chased from the house because I chose Jesus Christ. I was decided to suffer for the cause of Christ. It was a difficult moment in my life when to refuse what my uncle was going to give me. But if you look at Mark 10, verses 28 to 31, these were accomplished in my life. Mark chapter 10, verses 28 to 31. But if I leave my parents because of the gospel, if people reject me because of the gospel, God's going to give me a family. God's going to give me brothers. God's going to give me sisters. God's going to give me houses. He will give me lands. But with persecution, he will give me a family. When I look at my brother Rolando, my family, when I see John, I see my family. Because I don't have other family but you who are with me because of the cause of Jesus Christ, for living according to the faith. My family, my Christian family that God gave me, those who have accepted Jesus as their Savior, they're part of this great family, and we walk together and we will live eternally with Jesus above. For those who are of my fleshly family who don't believe in Jesus, it's going to stop here on the earth. There will be a separation between the family Christian and you might say my brother's pastor or my brother-in-law's a pastor. But the question is, have you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior? Is he your beloved Savior? Mark chapter 10, verses 28. Peter began to say, "Lord, we have left everything and followed you." Jesus said, "Truly I say to you, There is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or lands for my sake and for the gospel, who will not receive 100-fold now in this time, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children. In lands with persecutions. Sometimes it's easy to accept all that I just read here. We have brothers and sisters and lands and houses, but it's difficult to accept the persecution. The persecution comes with that, and in the age to come, eternal life. Hallelujah. It's that which is important, loved ones. It's for this cause that we are here. We do not want to do something and stop in the middle of the road. We want to walk along that which the gospel gives us. Loved ones, let us accept the cross with joy because he is with us. Don't lose courage because of this world. This world can't appreciate the victories of Jesus Christ. But be careful. There are times of suffering that we don't need to go through. When we go through because of things that we do. I'm talking to young people right now. Sometimes it's the gospel. This is for the young people in high school. It's the gospel that you need to preach. And you need to give your body to the Lord. The Lord led my wife and I here. My wife, when we met, understood that her body was the temple of the Holy Spirit. And while I was growing up, I was deceived by my friends. I went in a wrong direction. And I said to the Lord, never again, because he washed me. He forgave me. We present our bodies to the Lord, knowing that the body that we have is the temple of the Holy Spirit. We should not deliver this body to the fornication, to adultery, to immorality. We say no. My wife said to me, before we were married, I want to be completely to you, and my body will be to you when the pastor declares that we're husband and wife. This is a sign when we give our lives to the Lord. It's a sign of worship. And there will be those who don't respect your body. You need to run. When you love someone, you respect their body. We live in a country where there's laws, there's spiritual laws. And Jesus said, present your body pure. And if you refuse, someone might say, I don't think the Bible's against fornication or against adultery. If you rebel and you touch children or anything else, then the laws of the United States will apply to you, and you will suffer in prison, not because of the gospel. You will suffer because you have refused the gospel. Love God with all your hearts and with all your body, and keep your body pure until marriage. I'm speaking to young people here right now. He will work in your life. He, in his time, be patient. Say, Lord, I don't want to be in a hurry. I don't want to be discouraged. Because why doesn't God give me a husband? When you remain fidel, there is many benedictions, many blessings that God will give you. Where do the fights, where do the wars come from? Don't they come from your passions that fight in your body, your desire, your murders you can't obtain? You have quarrels, you have fights, because you ask, not, and you ask because, and don't receive because you ask wrongly. James chapter 4. Know that the love of the world is enmity with God. James chapter 4. In order, and to conclude this morning, I want to encourage all of you. Don't lose courage. Don't ever lose courage. Because God does allow trials to come into our lives for our growth, for our education, and for our good. And know that you have not had any temptation that has come that is not common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted above what you're able. But with the temptation, he will also provide a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. 1 Corinthians 10, 13-14, flee idolatry, flee immorality, and give your life as an offering to God. We ought to do it. We look around us, the internet, we see all these things, we see all the evil things that take place. But as a child of God, you can't just see anything. I don't want to just do anything. I don't want to use my feet to go just anywhere, or use my hands to just touch anything, or my eyes to just see anything. Because my life, my body, needs to be submitted totally to the will of God. The world may call our victories defeats. When the world sees you and discouraged, they're going to say, look, 10 years, 20 years, what has God done for you? God's let you go through all these things. We need to respond and be vigilant to remain in the joy and the zeal of our salvation in Jesus Christ. Maybe you're here this morning, and you need to take the decision to walk with God. And perhaps you made that decision one time and you turned away and you're coming back, and the devil seduced you and you said, it's not worth it. What God seems to have abandoned me. God never abandoned you. You can fall 10 times. God does not abandon you. If you believe, maybe you believe that you can't live the Christian life, you can't live for God. I want to tell you this morning, it's possible. If you believe in Jesus Christ, if you hold on to him, and you commit yourself to him day after day. Perhaps you're here this morning, you've never given your life to Christ. You come to church. You don't know what it is to abandon your will for the will of Christ and to allow Christ to live in you. I want to say it's possible this morning. And I'm going to bow our heads and close our eyes in prayer. I want to ask you this question. Perhaps you came this morning to the church and you're discouraged. You're discouraged by your life. All the discouragements of your life. But you've never known Christ. I want to pray for you. This morning, Christ can encourage you. In order that you be connected to Him and you can live for Christ, I'd like to pray for you. If you would just raise your hand, I'll pray for you. While with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, I want to pray for you. And anyone else, God bless my brother. God bless my brother. God is here. Jesus is here. He wants to restore you. I'm going to pray for everyone. We are here. John, Pastor John is here, and others are here to speak with you. We're here for you, your disposition. If you're going through times of discouragement, call one of us on the phone. We'd be happy to come and pray for you. Lord, we want to bless you. We want to thank you because you're a source of encouragement. Lord Jesus, money cannot encourage us. Our successes can't encourage us. Our job can't encourage us. Our children. Our source of encouragement is you and you alone. Even our wives sometimes might discourage us, but and help us as a church. For the elders, help us not to be discouraged. Even if we have someone here this morning who decides to follow you, help us, Lord. Help us, Lord, to preach the gospel, and it's totally preach it. And we want to thank you for this morning. Bless those. Help us, Lord, day after day. In the name of Jesus, amen.